Now from the KSFR Newsroom, At Noon looks at the top local news headlines for this Wednesday, September 25th.
How much money should the mayor of Santa Fe receive for the job? That was among the first items of discussion as Santa Fe City Council considers charter amendments for voter consideration in a special election. At last night's first of three public meetings on the matter, the Assembly avoided setting a fixed amount, but noted that earlier discussions cited an amount of more than $100,000 annually. The Charter Review Commission advocates making the mayoral post a full-time position with expanded powers, while also barring additional employment. The next public meeting is set for October 3rd. The final meeting is set for City Hall on October 15th. Updated numbers from the city show our recent heavy rains have made a significant impact on water storage at McClure Reservoir. It's now at 81% capacity, with recent inflow rates as high as 12 million gallons a day. Just 2 weeks ago, capacity was only 30%. Meanwhile, the Santa Fe River is flowing at a healthy rate as the smaller Nichols Reservoir is being drained as part of a $6 million reservoir infrastructure improvement program. Flows are expected to continue at a good rate for the next 2 weeks as Nichols is drawn down to levels needed for work to commence. Student retention at Santa Fe Community College is on the rise. That's what SFCC President Anna Cha Guzman told the Legislative Finance Committee, which is meeting at the college today. Guzman credits the improvements to the college's new Center for Academic Transitions.
And that has become a best practices for the College Board. I started that at the college where I was, and I started it right away last year. I didn't know if it would work as well here, because things are different in many places, and it did. It worked very well.
Guzman also told the legislative panel that SFCC increased the number of graduates and number of degrees awarded, and says SFCC increased the percentage of degree-seeking students successfully completing 15 credits in their first year. Attorney General Gary King today announced plans for a Safe School Summit in Albuquerque next month, focusing on best practices to ensure that New Mexico children have a safe place to learn. Attendees will include teachers, health professionals, and law enforcement personnel. Discussions will focus on school emergency plans, bullying, and school or student mental health. Keynote speaker for the late October summit will be Dr. Joel Haber, a nationally known psychologist and author who specializes in health psychology and bully prevention. In comments from Washington, New Mexico Senator Tom Udall cites the looming prospect of a federal government shutdown come October 1st and its potential effects here in our state.
A government shutdown would be destructive to New Mexico, especially the labs, military bases, the waste isolation pilot project, and public land agencies. It also would come when the state badly needs federal assistance to recover from the storms. I'm pretty tired of these threats, and I know New Mexicans are too. We need to concentrate on making the health care law the best it can be, rather than threatening to run the government off the cliff.
House Republicans have threatened a shutdown if the Senate does not defund the nation's Affordable Care Act. Santa Fe Public Schools' excessively high dropout rate is the focus of the Santa Fe Children and Youth Commission today. It's hosting an afternoon gathering of local and state agencies partnering with city, state, and local officials. Santa Fe's dropout rate is among the top three in the state. New Mexico as a whole nears the top of the list for high school dropout rates nationwide. Today's conference gets underway at 3 o'clock at Zona del Sol on Valentine Way. Developers of new technologies can have their inventions patented in a matter of days instead of years, thanks to a new program at Sandia National Laboratories. KOAT-TV reports the Albuquerque lab effort requires developers to complete forms and pay a fee of about $3,000. A Sandia spokesman says developers must choose from fields including homeland security, bioscience, and microelectronics. The U.S. Patent Office says the average wait time is currently 34 months. The Mexican Ministry of Foreign Affairs has established a new student scholarship program with Santa Fe Community College. The venture is designed to raise the educational level of Mexican-American and Mexican students to advance the culture and economy of Mexico. SFCC was awarded $10,000 and has matched funding for a total of $20,000 in scholarship monies. Awards will be made to low-income Mexican or Mexican-American students who require financial aid to begin, continue, or complete their studies. Immigrant rights activist Somos Un Pueblo Unido says some 50 Hispanic and immigrant business owners have met with New Mexico Congressman Steve Pierce to discuss immigration reform and Pierce's lack of support for a path to citizenship. The Republican congressman instead favors a temporary guest worker program. Somos Un Pueblo Unido is organizing a statewide caravan to Hobbs, the congressman's hometown, as part of the National Day of Action for Immigration Reform on October 6th. Immigration Policy Center estimates that immigrants make up at least 12% of the state's workforce, and Hispanic-owned businesses in New Mexico generate over $6.5 billion in revenue each year. Weather for Santa Fe, a sunny day in store with highs in the mid to upper 70s, clear skies overnight with a low of 50. Clouds on the increase tomorrow with a 10% chance of isolated afternoon showers and thunderstorms, increasing to 40% tomorrow. Thursday's highs in the mid-70s, Friday will be partly sunny with a 30% chance for precipitation. I'm Tom Tropridge, KSFR News.
Thank you, Tom. And we have much more of At Noon coming up for you in just a moment.
KSFR's on-air fall fun drive begins October 6th. By donating now, you can help us keep the drive short, and you'll have two chances to win an Apple mini iPad. The early bird drawing for the first mini iPad will be held on Friday, October 4th. If you've received an envelope from us, please mail it in today. You can also donate on our website, ksfr.org, by clicking on the red button at the top of the homepage, or by calling 428-1527. That's 428-1527. Thank you for your support and making KSFR possible.
14 minutes past the hour as At Noon now segues to today's feature stories. The Department of Economic Development for the state has been offering aid to business in the form of grant monies for training of new employees through its JTIP program. But a job gap continues to grow between the number of available jobs and the number of workers with the necessary skills for filling those available positions. Joining us now to talk more about this is Secretary John Barella. Sir, the program was able to give some substantial awards in September, was it not?
Yeah, this last board meeting for the JTIP Board, the Job Training Incentive Program Board, it approved a little over $400,000 for a variety of companies, ranging from manufacturers to service-exported companies. And they happily created almost 50 new jobs here in the state, all the way from Taos down to Roswell.
And for our listening audience, perhaps you can describe for us just exactly what the JTIP program is.
Well, the JTIP program is one of our most powerful economic and job creation tools. It is a program that's been around since the early 70s, and well over 40,000 New Mexicans have been trained under this program in the past. Happy to say it has wide bipartisan support, and last legislative session with the governor's leadership, we funded it again for the next fiscal year, over $3 million. It does provide on-the-job training for New Mexicans and for JTIP-eligible companies, and it's a wonderful, wonderful program.
And of the grants that have been given to companies, which areas, if any, were targeted? Was it more for the state's large metropolitan areas, or were rural areas included?
The JTIP program last couple of fiscal years actually tilted more toward rural areas. This last month, there were a few companies in Albuquerque that benefited, but again, I wouldn't consider Taos a major metropolitan area. And the fact of the matter is that to be a JTIP eligible company, you can be located anywhere in the state. There are enhanced benefits for rural companies that happen to create jobs. And again, the beauty of the JTIP program is that you might have one employee, you might have 1,000 employees, but as long as your company is JTIP eligible, that is, they manufacture a good, or if they are an export-related company in service sector, then you are a JTIP eligible company. So the fact of the matter is there are enhanced benefits for rural and or tribal governments that happen to create jobs on that tribal land or sovereign land.
What are your predictions for the JTIP program in the future?
I think the JTIP program has a great future. It enjoys wide bipartisan support. The last session of the legislature passed by overwhelming margins in both houses. The governor is a big advocate and strong supporter of the JTIP program, especially when we're trying to get people moving from unemployment to gainful employment. It's important to provide New Mexicans these on-the-job training skills and help employers provide those on-the-job training skills and move them quickly from unemployment to a job. And that's why JTIP is so very, very important.
Secretary John Barella with the New Mexico Economic Development Department, many thanks for joining us here at noon on KSFR.
From farm to feast, the Santa Fe Farmers Market Institute hosts the 7th annual Fall Fiesta Gala on Saturday, October 5th at 6 p.m., featuring local harvest food prepared by 12 celebrity chefs, live and silent auctions, and music by the Straight Up Jazz Trio. Proceeds benefit the Farmers Market. To learn more or make reservations, visit farmersmarketinstitute.org or call 983-7726. A message from the nonprofit Santa Fe Farmers Market Institute.
18 minutes past the hour as At Noon continues. A number of New Mexicans are disabled for one reason or another and thus are unable to work. Many wind up on the Social Security rolls, receiving both a monthly check and health insurance, usually Medicare. There is a perception that once on Social Security, people never get off. In fact, many are afraid to work at all for fear of losing their benefits. But as of late, it's never been easier for a disabled person to get back into the workforce without consequences. We're joined now by Andrea Satira-Gines, president of Advanced Employment Solutions, who helps get the disabled back to work. Andrea, what are some of the benefits to be had by getting back into the workforce?
There's a lot of benefits. I think all of us, most of us, want to be considered useful. We want to be part of society. We want to be part of the economic growth of the city you live in. And we also want to earn a living. So that's what returning to work does. And there are so many different programs for people who have a disability, have been out of work, even if they've been out of work for 10 years, it doesn't matter. But there are so many different programs that are available to people to return to work. And I always say it takes a village for a person to find a job. And that village is available to people with disabilities. It's just amazing the resources that are out there.
And how do you respond to the notion that it's unwise to go back to work for fear of losing those needed benefits?
There's several options that people have returning to work regarding their benefits. The first one is anyone receiving Social Security disability benefits, whether it's SSDI or SSI, is entitled to a program that's called Ticket to Work. And it's a self-sufficiency program which allows people to return to work and help them with that. So the rules are that you can earn up to just over $1,000 a month and still maintain all your benefits, both health care and the financial benefits. The second point is that when you return to work and you earn more than $1,000 a month and for some reason something happens to you or something happens to the job and you don't continue working, you're immediately reinstated into your benefits. I've had that happen now with three of the people that I've worked with, three of the job seekers that I've worked with, where they've gotten a relapse, their job went away, or the job that they were working on just didn't work out for them. It was too stressful. It was too many hours. And they were able to get right back onto their disability benefit.
Andrea, how does someone such as yourself aid in the transition?
What our role is to help people through that process, is to help them find the job, help them determine if they can't do what they were doing before, what other work can they do, what work is available to them. How do they find those jobs? How do they create a resume that highlights their skills, their transferable skills, their job skills, their self-management skills? How do they highlight those so that an employer takes a look at their resume? So many times there's that gap in employment that really puts the fear into people about returning to work. How do I explain it? How do I get around that? And so what we try to do is help them create a marketing plan about themselves, so that they can talk about who they are, what their skills are, what they can accomplish, and be able to return to work effectively. The process that my company uses in helping people return to work is really a very basic process on how to find a job. And it's not anything that hasn't been done for years and years and years. It's the things that I did when I was in my career. And how did I move up the ladder? How did I switch jobs? And it was all about, it's a process, and that's the process that we use. And it's very effective. The most important thing is that someone has to want to go back to work. That's the whole key. There's a couple of other programs that are out there that are very effective. And what they do is they help people get the training that they might need. So one of the programs is with New Mexico's Division of Vocational Rehabilitation. And that is a state and federal funded program that allows people with disabilities to get the financial support they need to return to work. So it could be training. You work with a counselor. They determine, you know, what could be a good job for you. What's the job of the future where there's going to be this hiring for? For example, I was with one of my clients yesterday, and I was with his DVR counselor, and we were talking about the future for him. And we were just able to get him a job working in a fast food restaurant. What he really wants is a future in a career. So we were talking about the different avenues that were open to him, whether it be in IT, whether it be in nursing, whether it be in customer service. And there's a number of different, there's financing to go to CNM to get a certificate in any one of those fields. So DVR, vocational rehabilitation, helps people with resources. In fact, this client of mine was given a stipend to buy the clothing that he needed for interviewing. He didn't have it. He didn't have the clothing. He didn't have a telephone. He didn't have eyeglasses. So these are things that DVR was able to help them with, including transportation, so bus fare, to help him get through that whole area of how do I find a job when I don't have anything.
And share with us the contact information for those interested in learning more about this.
It's 505-508-5292.
Andrea Satira-Gines, many thanks for joining us. And for those interested, there will be a job fair for the disabled on October 8th in Albuquerque. In addition to many employers looking for employees, there will also be lectures on a wide array of subjects, as well as workshops on resume writing and training. And At Noon on KSFR will continue in just a moment.
The Lensic presents fusion theater companies Vanya and Sonia and Masha and Spike, live at the Lensic, September 27th and 28th. Christopher Durang's outrageous Chekhov-inspired comedy won the 2013 Tony Award for Best Play and just ended a hit Broadway run. For tickets to Fusion Theater Company's Vanya and Sonia and Masha and Spike, September 27th and 28th, call 988-1234 or visit TicketSantaFe.org. The Lensic is a nonprofit, member-supported organization.
1224 here in the KSFR newsroom as At Noon continues. In recent years, killing contests, wherein certain animals are designated as prey and the hunter with the most kills wins a prize. Most recently, there was a prairie dog killing contest staged in Los Lunas. Now a group is fighting to bring an end to these events. Here is KSFR News reporter Charles Maynard with the story.
A New Mexico group is suggesting that we change the nickname of the state from the Land of Enchantment to some less flattering terms. Taylor Jones is with Wild Earth Gardens.
Land of Enchantment is very fitting for New Mexico. It's a beautiful, special place. But what a lot of people don't know is that it's really hard on wildlife. They have to face a lot of abuse, killing contests, leg hold traps, which are practically unregulated, poisons on public lands. So we ask members of the public to to come up with new nicknames that would better represent what the state's wildlife are going through. And Land of Entrapment was by far the most often suggested. And one of our respondents even said that they've been calling it Land of Entrapment for the last 20 years, and nothing has really changed. So the second most popular was the Thrill Kill State, and that references the killing contests that it incentivize high body counts and give prizes for the largest number of animals killed during those contests. And the last was sort of a double entendre: New Mexico will blow you away.
As mentioned, behind the tongue-in-cheek nicknames are a major issue for New Mexico. Our mistreatment of wild animals, including hunting contests with prizes for the most kills.
Unfortunately, these killing contests are completely legal in New Mexico. There have been at least a dozen this year. They mainly target coyotes. There was a recent week-long prairie dog contest that happened in August and apparently left around 1,500 prairie dogs dead. And this is really sad to me because not only are prairie dogs a really important animal, they're really a key part of the prairie ecosystem. They're also just really personable, wonderful little animals. I love watching them. They greet each other with a kiss. They form strong family bonds. They're a lot like us. And so it's really sad to me that these sort of high body count contest hunts just treat them like targets. And the same is true for coyotes. They're just treated like moving targets and not as wildlife, as not as both an important part of the ecosystem, but also as beings with their own feelings and right to exist. So I think that's really sad.
Wild Earth has written a letter to the state, including the nicknames, but more importantly, asking for help bringing to an end these contests.
With this letter, we are calling on the tourism board to do the same thing that we want everyone in New Mexico to do, which is contact your legislature, contact your representatives. There is upcoming legislation that will come before them in 2015 to ban killing contests and to regulate leg hold traps and ban them on public lands. And we want your support. We want the legislature to know that citizens of New Mexico want it to remain the land of enchantment, not just for its human citizens, but for its animal residents as well. So we're ramping up our campaign to get this legislation passed, and we're going to be putting the pressure on all next year. We had a citizens' hearing in New Mexico about every response that I got to the survey was completely against contest hunting.
For more information, go to the group's website.
Visit us at wildearthguardians.org, and you can find out a lot more about us and what we're doing to make sure that New Mexico lives up to being called Land of Enchantment.
Taylor Jones with Wild Earth Gardens.
All the outreach that we've done suggests that people in New Mexico are pretty disgusted with hunting contests and want them to stop.
For KSFR News, I'm Charles Maynard.
Stop the Stigma. The National Alliance on Mental Illness Santa Fe Chapter and Compassionate Touch Network present Minds Interpreted, Stories of Lives Affected by Mental Illness, on Wednesday, October 9th, 7 p.m. at the Lenzic. From poignant to humorous, these personal stories written and presented by residents of Santa Fe offer a unique opportunity to break the silence around mental illness. For tickets, call 988-1234 or visit ticketsantafe.org.
12:30 here in the KSFR newsroom. Now, don't rush to judgment on this next item. Bigfoot sightings have been made around the world. Now, right here in our own backyard, there is a potential habitat for the creature. Terry McDermott is with the Valles Caldera Trust and joins us now to discuss this issue. Terry, some folks are saying that the Valles Caldera is a perfect Bigfoot habitat. Why are they saying that?
Well, you know, the Bigfoot experts tell us that it's an ideal Bigfoot habitat because of the elk herds, the big expanses of land, the dense forests, and the very limited human activity. Of course, there's plenty of water. And that limited activity lets them roam, supposedly lets them roam uninterrupted from whatever they do. So it's a remote area. There are remote areas within the remote area, so it makes it a perfect habitat.
Have there been any actual Bigfoot sightings?
None that we know of, but that does not mean that they don't exist. There have been people up here in the Jemez Mountains area that swear that they have seen and experienced a Bigfoot encounter. In fact, the television show Search for Bigfoot on Animal Planet came up here last year around this time and interviewed several people who have had encounters and aired that show last year around December. So there are people who have had encounters in the Jemez area, none that we know of on the caldera itself. But then again, there aren't many people out there, and there aren't many people that are there during the evening. And that's why we have the tours in the evening, because that is apparently the best time to try to sight Bigfoot.
And you are now offering Bigfoot tours of the Valles Caldera, are you not?
Well, that is correct. We've scheduled several tours. In fact, we sold out the first two a couple of weeks ago. We sold out the early one this Saturday, and we have four spots available. They're going fast for this Saturday's evening or night tour, which runs from 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. So we are running tours. The last tours are this weekend. And we are in search of Bigfoot. So they're called the Search of Bigfoot Tours.
Terry McDermott of the Valles Caldera Foundation, many thanks for joining us here at Noon on KSFR. And after Bigfoot, where else could we turn but to our very own legendary resident curmudgeon? Here's 60 Seconds with Christopher Hagen.
Belonging to Facebook myself, it seems to me that Facebook and its members still haven't found a solid ground of accepted etiquette. Sure, there are flagrant words and images you can post that will get you kicked off, but the manners platform among members seems to have not settled down. And otherwise, apparently normal, well-balanced individuals submit vile, venom-filled posts for the Facebook world to see. And then the personal slights, slams, and slanders that supposed Facebook friends inflict on each other. I had a Facebook friend who at one time had been a real-life friend, a really, really good friend. She went out of her way to leave a snarky comment about me on my wall. With friends like that, who needs friends? At least that kind. I think they're called enemies. You know the old saying, keep your friends close and your underwear closer. For KSFR, I'm Christopher Hagen.
And with that, we'll conclude today's edition of At Noon, KSFR's extended noon news hour. Dan Garrity with you here at the news desk, with thanks to my contributing colleagues today, Tom Trowbridge and Charles Maynard. We'll be back with more news of and for New Mexico for you tomorrow, and as always, we hope you join us.